Good morning. I do want to welcome each of you. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. To worship with you guys is a tremendous blessing. I want you to know that. We have many that have traveled and are here, and we acknowledge that. There was a wedding yesterday, so it kind of brought some in that have left us and moved on to different places. We're grateful for that, to have some friends from downstate as well. Jack and Jerry McGee are with us. 48 years tomorrow, is it? 49? 46, okay. I'm speaking prophetically that 48 or 49 will happen, but 46 years of marriage for them, and so we praise God. We want to celebrate that, and we're thankful. Do have a little bit of mixed emotion here this morning with thought of Paul Girard moving on. But we acknowledge that he's been a faithful servant to us, Paul. We're grateful for that. How many of you have seen your mug on a website somewhere because of our dear brother? And he was ministering yesterday, just doing that. He's traveled all across the UP, into Wisconsin, lower Michigan. I don't have that all right, but I praise God. You go to his website, it'll say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Paul Girard, many of you know him as Grandpa Campbell, but I'm just grateful. I'm thankful for his ministry to us and excited for whatever God has for you going forward, Paul. We're grateful. We just want to say that. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in the first chapter today. We'll cover verses 8 through 11, Lord willing. And we should. Don already gave me permission to go clear into this afternoon. I appreciate that. I don't get that often, you know. So I'm thankful. Where's Don at? He's gone. He left. No, I'm kidding. Let's pray. Then we'll ask God to bless our time together. Loving Heavenly Father, we do come broken, in need of mending. We are needy, needy people. We don't have it all together. But our hope is in you, the one who does have it all together, the one to whom nothing is a surprise, nothing dawns on you. You have all things in control. And Father, through faith in Christ, you are our Father, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, and we thank you. We bless your name this morning. Father, I pray that you would minister to us through your Spirit as only you can do. We want to hear from you today. And Father, we want to come before you with everything that challenges us in our lives, with our disappointments, with our fears, with our questions, with our heartache. With this past week, with what's to come, we just lay it all before you. And we know something. We can trust you with it. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, never to die again. Who, through him, we have access. And we want to continue to look to him. That's what the Scripture says, looking on to Jesus. So I pray, Father, you'll move. May your Spirit bless and help. And bring comfort and courage and conviction where needed. I just present these people and myself to you. I'd ask that you would help us to respond to your word. Help me to proclaim it as I should. And both the listener and myself to respond as is needed. Now, Father, do what only you can do. We will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 2, 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength so that we despaired even of life. And we're really continuing with this thought. You remember last week of the God of all comfort. And we talked about affliction and comfort and how that works out and the blessings of that. And he just dives right back into it here. And we're going to be here just for this week. We'll move on. But the thoughts are still around this affliction. And Paul's going to describe that. And he begins to describe that. In verse 9 he says, indeed we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also join in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. As God works in our lives through affliction and comfort, and we have both of those, He desires that we would grow. Listen, He desires that we would grow in our reliance on Him and our trust in Him. He is our only hope in this life. Obviously, in the life to come as well. But He's the one who we need daily to set our hearts on, our hope on, our dependence on. And, you know, pretty simple this week as far as what I'm going to try to get across to you. It is that as we go through affliction, God desires that we would totally be dependent on Him. Okay, so when you go through trials and difficulties, when those things press in on us, God wants something to happen there. He wants us to depend on Him, to trust in Him. Now, this is a timeless truth. And you might say, that's pretty simple, Pastor. But think about it. I believe we consistently need to set this before us. I believe that an implicit trust in the Lord can fade. It can fade from us unnoticed. Because we know better. We're more capable than ever. We've grown in Christ. And we have the ability. We can think that. But you know, we neglect to pray and to rely on Him as we once did because we think we can handle it. God's desire is that we would just trust Him, that we would walk with Him. We'd lean on Him for everything at all times. That's what God desires. That's the best place to be. I want to first note here the need for this dependence, the need for dependence. You'll see it in verses 8 through 9a. I'll read those again. We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. And he's just describing something here, this need for dependence, because affliction happens. It happens to God's people. The promise given to those who follow Christ is clear. Jesus said in John 15:18 this, if the world hates you, if you're walking with Christ, there'll be those who oppose you. That's as simple as it gets in this world. And Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates you, you know that it's hated me before it hated you. That's just a reality. If you follow Christ, it's going to cost you something. If we stand for His name, it'll always take something from us. What the Word is saying before us is not for the one, however, who's come to Christ, or not come to Christ. This Word isn't for you. This application of what's here, it's not effective for those who have yet to come to Christ. Matter of fact, those afflictions and difficulties, they just happen. And there's no redeeming quality as there is for the believer. Two, I want you to know that this Word is not, I believe, for the worldly Christian, the one who has no backbone at all, who just goes with the flow. And if the world looked at that person, they wouldn't know that they knew Christ from anyone. This Word is for those who love the Lord, who have come to Him, who will stand for Him. And it is a good Word to us today. If we follow Christ, it's going to extract something. It's going to cost. If you remember when Paul came to faith in Jesus, this is what was said about him. It was predicted it was going to cost him something. The Lord said, He says this to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. Speaking of Paul, he's a chosen instrument of mine. You guys know this, right? To bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. And this was, in a nutshell, Paul's life and what it would be. He was going to proclaim the gospel to the world, but it was going to cost him. He would suffer affliction. And Paul's affliction came because he was a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ in his hour, just as we need to be. And I want you to know that God is over all of that. He will at times allow afflictions to come to us. He will allow us to experience situations that bring pressure to a degree where we are very uncomfortable. That will happen. Furthermore, there are times when he'll allow us some event to bring us to the place where we may feel despondent, depressed, and without hope for a purpose. For a purpose. So, there is a need for dependence. Brothers, sisters, I need to say this to you because affliction happens. Many of you may be in the middle of something. You may have just come out of something, and you know what I'm saying. It happens, but God has a purpose in it. He will comfort, He will bless, He will grow, He'll use it in our lives down the road. So we need to be dependent because affliction happens and because it can be extreme. Do you see what he says here? Back to the scripture. And he wanted them to be aware of this, affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively. He says we were burdened excessively. It's extreme. The description that Paul uses in recounting this burdened excessively, it's a powerful and very descriptive word picture. Burdened excessively pictures an overloaded ship lying deep in the water about to sink. Also, a pack animal overloaded, fallen, unable to rise because of that burden. Paul's saying this burden was heavy. It was excessive. It was pressing down on me and my fellow men. It was beyond our strength to bear. Now, I want you to know, I'm not saying that all of us will experience the life that the Apostle Paul did, the suffering in that extent. It's amazing to think about what he went through. But God does allow burdens to press in on us, friend, beyond our capability to withstand. There's a saying out there, and we've tried to push back on this, that God will never give you more than you can handle. And I want you to know that's a big, fat lie. God gives you more than you can handle, so you will look to Him for help, for guidance, that you will see your need for Him. But He will get you through. So this burden excessively, that's what the apostle said was happening. So if you're going to live for Christ boldly in this world, this type of excessive burden may well be your lot. That's what happened to Aaron and Melissa Klein, owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa Bakery. I believe it's in Oregon. And they were ordered to pay $135 in damages to a lesbian couple for refusing to bake a cake for their wedding. Now, the Kleins have 5 children. They believe in the biblical definition of marriage, and their conscience and conviction would not allow them to do that, so they have paid a price. We could go on and on and on about Christians that are burdened and excessive weight upon them and the price that has been paid. So we need to trust Him. We need to be dependent on Him. I want you to see that this morning because affliction happens. Because it can be extreme, and because it can be hopeless. Look further in the text here. It says, in verse 8, we were burdened excessively, last part of verse 8, beyond our strength, God will give you more than you can bear, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. It can be hopeless. He despaired even of life, indeed. That sentence of death was on us. Acts 27:20, since neither... this is a situation that happened, and we not so long ago looked at this. This was the trip to Rome that Paul was making, and this was a situation where he was on that ship for days, and the situation came to a point where they thought they were going to lose their lives, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. No small storm was assailing us. From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. If you remember, they lost all hope there. God delivered them. But this is one of those situations where Paul was in a spot where things were pressing in. However, I don't believe that's what he's referring to here. Whatever this situation is, I believe it's greater than this. And the Corinthian church seemed to know about it. He talked to in that light that they knew of this situation. This was much more than could be handled. Think of it. This is from Arkent Hughes. He states this. Think of it. Paul had multiple life-threatening experiences. The stoning, the five beatings that took him an inch from his life, multiple dangers and shipwrecks. But his affliction in Asia was the most damaging and debilitating. An inexorable, paralyzing weight had fallen on him there, and there was no exit. He mentioned something in 2 Corinthians 4:11. I think that's helpful. We who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. He's just saying, this is what it was for me to live. Constantly facing those things, but delivered over. Paul had gone through so much by way of persecution and terrifying situations. But here, he's referring to something that came upon him and his partners in ministry. And it was something that those in Corinth were aware of. It stood out to him as a sentence of death. I have to tell you, friend, I don't believe I've ever been to that point where I really thought, you know, right now I'm going to die. Close a few times. But never having experienced a situation where I thought, this is hopeless. This is it. Some of you may have. This is what was going on in his life. It was hopeless. It was a hopeless situation. And he was helpless in his ability to overcome it. But God had a blessing in it for him. You know, we're going to miss so much, folks. I need to say this. If we look at affliction, trials, and difficulty, if we do not look at them from the big picture of God is in control. He loves me. He's crazy in love with me. And He wants to grow me. And He wants to pull me near Him. And He has something for me here and now. If we can get that in our heads that He's going to use this in the future, in my life and in someone else's life, and He's going to, there's a redeeming quality to this. If we miss that, we're really missing, I think, the attitude in which God would have us go through these difficulties. And Paul's going to see that God's going to deliver him, and he's going to use it in his life. So he had this sentence of death upon him. This reminds me of something, that without Christ, we have a sentence of spiritual death upon us. We will be forever separated from God. And it's excessive. It's to the point of death, because you cannot work your way out of it. You can't earn your way out of it. You can't go back and fix it and correct it. You can't do that. And those sins cry out for justice from a holy God. Friend, an eternity awaits that one who is yet to come to faith in Christ in a place called the Lake of Fire forever. And that should scare us to death, should drive us to Christ. That's what happened to me in the fifth grade. I got it. I understood the wages of sin is death. And I was a good boy. I was better than most of the kids in my class. Not all of them, but most of them. And all that, going to church every Sunday, didn't get me squat. It didn't get me a relationship with God. Only through faith in Christ. And I read things like John 3:16, finally Romans 10:13. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. In my bedroom, in a moment in time, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and I got it. And I said, there is my way of escape from this death sentence. And I invite you to believe in Christ now for salvation. He's waiting, arms wide open. There is the blessing of dependence that I see in this text as well. Look at verse 9. We pick it up right there, just a little bit into it. It says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. And there's a gem here, folks. There's a gem. It says, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. There's that so that we would trust in God. What's all this about? Think about this. Here's this great man of God. He's been all over the place planting churches. God has used him powerfully in the ministry. He suffered greatly. Yes. There's been affliction. Yes. But God has used that. And here's this man whose maturity is amazing. And I look at this man and I'm like, he's there. He's at the right place. You know what he says? Yeah, God brought this.
God brought this affliction that was, it seems to me, greater than anything he ever faced for a purpose. So that what? So that we would not trust in ourselves. Paul, what? Not in ourselves, but in God. You mean at this point in your life, Paul, in this maturity, God brought this to you then because you needed this? That's exactly what's going on here. Friends, you and I believe there's a danger for us as believers. There's a danger for me. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor a long time. I was saved 43 years ago. I know I look a lot younger than that. But I was saved 43 years ago. I've had 43 years with Christ. When I was about 19 or 20, I really began to study the Scripture. And there's a lot I don't know, but I've got some miles behind me. And there's not much anymore that surprises me in ministry. If somebody comes to me and says, you know, here's this thing. What are we going to do here? And I'll say, well, it's not my first rodeo here. I've been on that course before. Here's where we're going to go. There's a real danger for me that I'd begin to trust. I know it. I've been there. I've studied. I'm ordained. I've got this. I've got that. No. God wants me to be looking to Him moment by moment, hour by hour, with a heart that says, you know what? I need you. I don't have it all together. You know, and for you that have known the Lord a long time, I believe this is a danger that we face as well. Kind of camouflaged under this spirituality can be a heart that says, I got it. I know. Lord, if it's a big one, I'll come to you, but I got this. You know, if you watch children and you watch how they operate, you can learn a lot of stuff. You can get some really good sermon illustrations too. My granddaughter, as she began to grow and began to be able to do things, there might be something that she was going to do, and we're going to help her with it, and she'd say, I got it. And she sometimes could do it, but a lot of times she couldn't. And she'd start out with, I got it. I ain't got it. And then she'd say, Papa, would you help me? Papa, would you help me? Paul says, God is interested in using this challenge in his life for a specific purpose, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but God who raises the dead. If Paul didn't need this, I'll tell you what, God's not going to waste his time with it. But God had a plan. He sent it to him. And we miss so much when we trust in our own ability, in our own power, in our own understanding, in our own manipulation to get out of a jam. God desires that we'd be totally dependent on Him. This relationship is so important to Him that He'll send it so we might come to Him, so that we would trust in God. Furthermore, the blessing of dependence is so that we trust in God, but also so that we experience the power of the resurrection. Do you see it there? He says in verse 9, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we'd not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. We say, He's risen. It's a little weak. He's risen. Paul says, God brought this so we would trust in Him and experience resurrection power. How? In the deliverance of Him, in the deliverance of His people. That same power that raised Jesus from the grave is provided for the children of God. This resurrection power doesn't simply imply that one day He raises these mortal bodies and gives us a new and glorious body. It's more than that. It's much more than that. It's operable here and now, today. It's It's the power that raises the dead, that daily works in us through the joys, through the heartaches, to bring the grace of God into the mix. It's sufficient grace. And we need to believe that. We need to trust God that He will pour it out, get us through, because that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. I want you to note as well that there is a reality here that we have, all of us, a sentence of death, of physical death on us. I remind you of this. As much as is appointed for men once to die, after this comes the judgment. Unless the Lord comes first, we have an appointment. It's made by God. And you may be one that maybe you're early for appointments or late for appointments, but this is one that we will make and God will see to it. If we are in Christ, this appointment has victory written all over it. It does. Death for the believer, physical death, opens the door that allows us to enter into heaven. It is graduation day. And it is because of Jesus. He said, because I live, you'll live also. Death for the believer opens that door to heaven. And we can die in faith, trusting in Him, because our Master, our Savior, has left death powerless. He walked away from it. He defeated it. It lost its grip. Blessing of dependence, so that we trust in God, so that we'd experience the power of the resurrection. Two, so that real prayer can be experienced. Look at verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a peril. By the way, you have in these next few verses, this delivery that Paul experiences, past, present, and future. He says here, He delivered us from so great a peril of death. God did that. And He will deliver us. That's today. He'll continue to do that. He on whom we have set our hope. There's hope written all over this thing. And He says He will yet deliver us. Past, present, future. It's all there. He says this, you also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of the many, so that real prayer could be experienced. That's a blessing of dependence. Someone has said, prayer is dependence on God. They say it rightly when they say that. Paul and his fellow servants engaged in praying that God would work in them in order to bring about help from heaven that was needed. They had to pray. They had nowhere else to turn but to the Lord. You and I note that when we're in a hard place, when it's bigger than us, when we finally have come to the end of it all, what do? God, help me. We pray. And that's a great place to be. Paul says we were there. They had to pray. But also they needed that which God would supply through the prayers of others. Do you see that in verse 11? You also joining in helping us through your prayers. One of the blessings of dependence is that we will pray. They needed that which God would supply. And he noted that his conviction about prayer is that they joined and they prayed and God moved and delivered. An amazing truth here. The prayers of the saints in Corinth, that group of believers that were immature and misguided in so many ways, we're moving the hand of God for Paul and his ministry team. When we pray, I mean really pray, that is when the pressure comes, where we can only look up, that is a sweet place to be. Blessings from the Lord, they will come. It forces us back in these situations into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. Lastly here, the blessing of dependence is so that God will be glorified. Do you see that last part of verse 11? He says, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. There's a theme that just keeps running through 2 Corinthians, and I'll mention it here and many times further. It's 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, the apostle says, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with
distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake, here it is. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Here's a blessing of dependence, that God would work in such a way that He would be glorified. God's power is perfected in weakness. What He is saying is that when I'm at my wit's end, at the end of my ability, when I'm being overloaded to the point of sinking, when that burden is so heavy that I cannot get up, it is then that God's power is displayed in me. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak is often where God, in His loving grace, takes us. He loves us that much. He loves us enough that He wants us to get to the point where we can only look up and we run to Him, where He is waiting with arms wide open. God desires that your trust would be fully in Him. If that's not the case, I want to ask you, what's holding you back? Is it that you're a mature believer? And you've got a lot of answers to a lot of questions. And underneath all of that is that I'm really trusting in myself. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank You for Your Word. I thank You that when we go through affliction and trials, that You're there as the God of all comfort. We want to just bless You. We want to praise You. Thank You that there's purpose in it, that there's grace in it, that there's resurrection power in it, and that You will use whatever it is that we are struggling with to draw us closer to Yourself. Thank You for that kind of love that just says, draw near, draw near. Come, I'm right here. Father, I don't know where You find Your people today. Maybe they're in the middle of a very difficult situation. Maybe it's bigger than them. If so, Father, I thank You for it. And I thank You for what You're going to do in it. If we'll look to You, oh, You've got so much for us. Father, move in our hearts with a childlike faith as believers. We came to You by faith in Christ. And this walk as a Christian is still done by faith. We still trust. We still believe that's where we need to be. I pray You'll catch us there. You'll see us there. You'll move us there. Give us just a deep dependence on You moment by moment. Help us to see that everything's bigger than us in order that we would seek You out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll let me get to the back, you'll be dismissed.